Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Shane McKenzie. Welcome to the Ministry Influencers Academy. Tonight is Thursday, April the 11th, and I am glad that you've decided to make the investment in growing your leadership. Here's what I believe. I believe that everything that the Lord is doing to advance the kingdom, he is primarily doing through his people. And that means you, and that means me. And he's using his spirit to be able to guide you and I to carry the gospel into places where he is already at work. Boy, what an amazing opportunity for you and I to be able to be a part of a work that the Lord is doing in our midst. Everything that he is doing, he is primarily doing through his people, and that means you. And you know, there's only one you. There's only one me. And each of us uniquely have been designed and created to fulfill our potential and relationship to the mission that he has given us, to be able to invite others into the story of grace that he is writing and has written in our life, that they might see who he truly is. Boy, it's overwhelming if we really sit just for a moment in that reality. The gospel is in you, and the gospel goes everywhere that you go. And that means that you and I have repeated opportunities to put the gospel on display in front of a world who is not in relationship with the one who created them so that they might see. Boy, what an opportunity. So as we start tonight, I want to take a moment and pray, and then we'll jump into chapter 1 of John Maxwell's Put Your Dream to the Test. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the uniqueness in which you've created us to be able to live into our full potential, that we might invite others into the story of grace that you are writing through your Son. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight we're talking about chapter 1, the ownership question. Last week, I introduced you to the idea that sometimes we get stuck in this concept of dreams because we've been taught over time that dreams just aren't realistic, or we've been taught over time that dreams are just for other people, or we've been taught over time that it's just too painful when it doesn't work out, and so we stop. And when we stop, we move into helping other people achieve their dream, meanwhile leaving unfulfilled that calling that has been uniquely planted inside of us. It's, as I said on one of our Facebook posts this week, it's almost as if we make an exchange for the truth of the gospel to the truth of our own self-protection. And last week was all about us recognizing that there is a dream that the Lord has planted in your mind and heart, that he is looking to work through you to fulfill, to bring that dream to life, that others might be able to see who he truly is. And this next 10 weeks, we're going to talk about how you walk through that process to discover your unique God-given dream. And tonight, it starts with the first of 10 questions that John introduces us to, the ownership question. Is my dream really my dream? I remember in college, I was in high school, and I was sitting at my grandparents' house around Christmas break, and the question came up, Shane, what do you want to be when you grow up? you've all had this conversation before, right? So what do you want to be when you grow up? And I didn't really know. You know, I wanted to do something that allowed me to make enough money to have a family and live in a house and drive a car and do things that normal people do. And, you know, so I said, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. And my grandfather, I remember this as if it happened yesterday. My grandfather was sitting across the kitchen table in his house, and my grandmother was over at the sink washing dishes. And he said, you know, Shane, you ought to be an accountant. You ought to be an accountant. You know, you could help people with their money, and you could make a good living being an accountant. And so that stuck with me for a couple of years. And when I graduated high school and went to college, I declared that I would be an accounting major. And, you know, with a major, you don't take a lot of your classes that first semester that are related to your major. But it wasn't long, a couple of semesters later, my second year in college, and I took my first accounting class, Accounting 101. And the very first day we got introduced to the idea of debits and credits. And as I looked around at the room that was filled with students who were accounting majors taking Accounting 101, I realized that I was the only student in the room who was completely confused. I could not figure out for the life of me how it was that someone could call a positive a negative and a negative a positive. And if you've ever taken accounting before or you've ever worked with bookkeeping, you know what I'm talking about. It was the most backwards thing that my mind could not process in that moment or any other moment. I literally left that class and I went immediately to the registrar's office and I dropped it. And I changed my major all in that same day because I was so taken aback by the lack of my ability to do what was required and also by my lack of desire to even want to figure it out. Now, you know the next thing that had to happen. I had to call home and communicate to the family that I was no longer going to be an accountant. And each of us have had to battle through a difficult conversation like that before. We've each had this difficult conversation where we've had to say to someone else, we no longer want to carry their dream. We want to find our own. Every one of us has gone through them where we've had to sort out the difference between someone else's dream and our dream. And listen, this doesn't just happen to high school students and college students. This happens to adults at all ages. This happens at different stages of life and different phases of life. There won't be just one dream that you have that carries you the span of your lifetime. It's likely. There'll be multiple things that the Lord moves you through, which I'm choosing to call dreams, which will be his calling for you for a season. And sometimes it's difficult when we have to communicate to others that we're no longer called or equipped to simply fulfill their dream. It's time for us to transition to where we take ownership of ours. And so on page 4 of your handout, your workbook, on page 4, I want to give you the difference between owning someone else's dream and owning your own dream. If you are owning someone else's dream, it will not have the right fit. It just won't feel right. You'll feel like I did in that accounting class when they started talking about debits and credits. It won't fit. It won't be who you are. If you have your own dream, it will feel right to you. If you are owning someone else's dream, it will be a weight on your shoulders. You'll feel the responsibility and the weight of that responsibility like I felt when I had to make the phone call to tell my family I was no longer going to be an accountant. That was a weighty decision. You'll feel the weight when you are owning someone else's dream. But when you are owning your own dream, it will provide a fire that gets you excited. You'll be so fired up when you own your own dream. It's almost like you just can't get enough. If it's someone else's dream, it'll put a drain on your energy. There was nothing more taxing for that 2-hour class than me trying to pay attention. And that's the way it is when you're owning someone else's dream. It puts a drain on your energy. I could have gone and slept for days after all of that expanded energy that just wasn't in the direction that was truly something I wanted. On the other hand, if you own your dream, it's something that'll actually keep you up at night. You won't be able to turn it off. It'll be something that you think about all the time. If it's someone else's dream, it'll actually put you to sleep. You won't be able to get away from it fast enough. If it's someone else's dream, it'll take you out of your strength zone. You'll find yourself doing things that you're not really good at and trying to make it work. If you're owning your dream, it'll be something that's actually fulfilling to you. Finally, if you're owning someone else's dream, it'll require others to actually make you do it. But if it's your dream, you're going to feel like you were made to do it. Yeah, see, when we own someone else's dream, someone has to pick us up, pull us along, push us forward. But when it's our dream, when it's truly our dream, when you own your dream, you get filled up and lifted up to where you don't need anyone to do any of that for you because it's yours. Now, on page 5, I want to talk to you about how we take ownership of our dream. I want to give you 5 things that'll give you an indication of whether or not you have taken ownership of your dream or if you are owning someone else's. At the top of page 5, we'll start with the first, which is this: be willing to bet on yourself. Be willing to bet on yourself. Here's what John means by that. What John is saying is, in this moment where you're taking ownership of your dream, you are saying, first and foremost, I'm going to believe in me. I'm going to believe in me. You see, that day that I left and deregistered my major as well as dropped that accounting class, I made a decision that I was going to believe in me. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to work in sports. Now, that one decision there changed the trajectory of my life because it introduced me to a group of people that I would never have come in contact with, who introduced me to experiences that I would never have had, that introduced me to a relationship with Jesus. It's that powerful of a moment when I made that decision to follow what I knew was my dream. Everything changed. But it started with me making a first decision, and that was to take action. And in those moments where you've been owning someone else's dream, the hardest decision is often that first decision. And if you can say, I'm willing to bet on myself, I believe in me, then you'll find the courage to be able to take that next step. Well, I found myself over a period of 8 years later in a class in New Orleans, Louisiana, at seminary. And I was still looking to fulfill this idea of working in sports. And I didn't know quite what the next step was. And so I made a decision. I was an owner of my dream. And I made a decision that I was going to reach out to anyone and everyone that I could come in contact with who was doing sports and recreation ministry in the church or through an organization that was connected to a church. I just decided I was going to ask as many people questions about what was it that they did and how it was they did it. I actually came up with a list of 10 questions that I was going to ask people who are already doing what I wanted to do. This is what people who believe in themselves do. They take action. They don't wait for opportunities. They go and create them. And so I had a professor who was connected to sports and recreation ministry professionals. And I went to her and I said, who do you know that I can ask these questions of so that I can learn and grow? I want to be in sports and recreation ministry. And Judy Jackson introduced me to a man named Tommy Yesick. Some of you on this call may know Tommy. Tommy was one of the first people who worked in the profession of church sports and recreation ministries. I call him the Godfather because he's been around sports and recreation ministry that long. And he was one of the leading practitioners and also one of the leading developers of students who were going and working in churches and other parachurch organizations in the field. And I called Tommy up and said, I understand that you're going to be in New Orleans and you're going to be coming and teaching a class. And I'd like to spend a few minutes with you to discover more about what you know that I should know as someone who's passionate about sports ministry. And so Tommy agreed. I couldn't believe it. He said yes. And so we met a few weeks later when he was on campus, and we didn't meet just for 30 minutes. We didn't meet for just 3 hours. We met for close to 8 hours in the cafeteria on campus where I just asked question after question after question after question. And I asked Tommy the same thing that I asked Judy: who do you know that I should know? And he gave me a list of the names of 4 people. And I immediately went home and I began to call through that list. People like Tom Crabtree at Carson Newman College, people like David Downing at Samford University. I picked up the phone and called these people and asked them if they would do the same thing that Tommy was willing to do. This is what people who have decided to take ownership of their dream do. They believe enough of themselves that they don't buy in to the deception that they can't do what's required. You've been there, right? You see an opportunity and you think, boy, that might be what it is that I should be stepping forward into. And that seed of doubt comes in and says, you're a nobody. Tommy Jessick doesn't know you. You're a seminary student. You haven't even been on campus a year yet. David Downing is a professor at a different college who has tons of other students that he is trying to serve. He doesn't have time for. When you take ownership of your dream, you do not buy into the deception that you are not enough. You see, that this goes back to the gospel, buying into the reality that you, everything you and I desire, we already have in the person and work of Jesus. There is nothing more that we need in order to feel safe, secure, approved, confident. We have the life of Christ within us. And with that as truth, we can go in and take ownership of things and move forward, even when we don't see how things are going to progress. We can move. We can move with confidence, knowing we'll either get an answer or we'll find more questions to ask. We'll either get an answer or we'll find another avenue to pursue. Because what's at stake is not our identity. What's at stake is the opportunity for us to keep moving forward, to join God in what it is that He has prepared for us to do with Him. I said this at the opening of our call. What an amazing story that the Lord is choosing to write through His people. What an amazing thing. So the first thing, if you want to take ownership of your dream, is that you have to be willing to bet on yourself. You have to be willing to believe that you can move forward, and you have to take action. Number two, you have to lead your life. You have to lead your life instead of just living your life. Another way to say it is this: you have to lead your life instead of just accepting it. I remember when I went to seminary, I wasn't a student. I graduated 64th out of 67 kids in my high school. Like, I'm not what you would call an academic. I'm not someone who thrived in college. I graduated, but I wasn't a stellar academic. I could have just said, you know, seminary's not for me. I didn't become a Christian until I was 21 years old. I could have just said, you know, the course has been set. I'll just stay in the background and just do what it is that other people need help with. But that's just accepting my life. And I felt like the Lord was calling me to lead it. And so I stepped in. And leading your life requires that you make the right decisions. I had to make decisions on who it was that I would allow to mentor me when I was in seminary. People like Alan Jackson, Judy Jackson, Clyde Hall. These are people that I had to make decisions of who it was that I would allow in to be able to help shape my thinking about the future, to help navigate through the present, to help me see the bigger picture as the picture kept getting bigger. I had to make the right decisions. And then I also had to manage those decisions. And here's what I mean by that. Each of those relationships was for a moment in time. I'll never forget Alan Jackson saying to me, along with two other young students that he was mentoring, guys, there will come a time where the student will become the teacher and you will move on from me. Clyde Hall, I was with Clyde in Alberta, Canada, and we were riding in a car, and Clyde, as we were looking at these fabulous, beautiful mountains and lakes, looks over at me and says, Shane, there's going to come a time where our relationship will not be the same. And I want you to know, enjoy the moments that you have with people in the journey. Take them for what they are and don't have an expectation of them beyond the moment. Enjoy the moment with people. So not only do we have to determine that we're going to lead our life instead of manage it, we have to lead our life in a way that is making the right decisions and managing those decisions in order for us to benefit from this particular part of the ownership question. Number three, love what you do and do what you loved. I did not love accounting. I already told you that I wasn't an academic, and I certainly was not a mathematician. I had no desire to learn. I didn't have any passion about that. I was passionate about sports. And you have a passion. You have a passion that opens up doors for you in your thinking. You have a passion that the Lord has planted in your life because of the experiences that He has led you to up until this moment in time. You have a passion because of the people that He placed in your life and made you who you are today. Just like Alan Jackson, Clyde Hall, and many more people who He placed in my life, He's placed those people in your life. And here's the importance of loving what you do and doing what you love. At the bottom of page 5, talent without passion is potential without possibility. Passion without talent is passion without potential. But talent with passion is potential with passion. Here's what John is saying. John is saying passion is the difference maker. Your passion is what fuels you to continue when the going gets tough. You've heard that phrase before. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. I would say that's true unless there is no passion. Just look at me and my accounting. So passion is the difference maker. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't love what you do, you won't spend any time investing in actually doing it. So we're talking about what does it take to take ownership of your dream. First, it takes being willing to bet on yourself. It takes you leading your life instead of accepting it. It takes you loving what you do and doing what you love. And on page 6, number 4, it's important that you don't compare yourself or your dream to others. Sometimes we want to compare our dream to others in order to validate it. So we look and we see successful people. And then we look at what we believe that is our God-given dream to us, for us to be able to live into our full potential. And we make a comparison between that person and us, and we say, that's not good enough. So what I want you to think about is this. Your dream is your dream. Their dream is their dream. Neither is good or bad, right or wrong, better or worse. They are simply different. Your dream is your dream. Your dream is not something that you are manufacturing. Your dream is something that the Lord has created for you. It's Him who's planted the seed of ideas and thoughts in your mind. It's Him who is igniting the passion within your heart. It's Him and His Spirit, based on truth, that is going to move you in the direction if you choose to join Him. So what is there to compare? Nothing, unless we're looking at this from the perspective of, am I good enough? Am I good enough to try and achieve a dream that big? Am I good enough to try to achieve a dream that big? You see where this is coming from, yes? It's coming from a belief in the wrong source. You are not the source of the dream. God is the source of the dream. You are the vehicle that He's choosing to work through. You are the one who He is inviting into the opportunity to use your talents, your strengths, your potential to be able to join Him in a work that He is wanting to create. And when you and I start playing the comparison game, then we shut down the opportunity to be able to step fully into the work that He has for us. John says that sometimes this happens, and he calls it the 18-40-60 rule. The 18-40-60 rule says that when you're 18, you worry about what everyone is thinking about you. You remember this, right? When you were 18, you know, are they thinking about me? What are they thinking about me? Did they just look at me? Are they looking at me because they're trying to figure out what it is that I'm thinking? Or what are they thinking about me? And then when you get to be 40, you really could care less what anyone thinks, right? Like you're so over that. Like, been there, I'm done. I don't care what you think. And then when you're 60, I don't know this yet, but this is what John says from his experience. You realize that no one's been thinking of you all along. So don't get caught in the comparison trap. Don't compare yourself or your dream to others. Because when you compare yourself with those who are superior than you are, you're going to feel inferior. And when you compare yourself with those who are inferior, you're going to feel superior. Neither of those are gospel-saturated realities. That's not truth. When you stop comparing yourself with others, you actually feel this sense of empowerment. So some of you who are on the call tonight or are listening to this recording, for the first time, you're giving yourself permission to put down the comparison, and you're starting to think in terms of what might be. You're starting to think in terms of possibilities. There are new ideas, and there is a new level of hope that is welling up within you, and you can say, yes, I am starting to feel empowered. That's what happens when you drop the comparisons. Finally, number five, believe in your vision for the future, even when others don't understand you. Believe in your vision for the future, even when others don't understand you. You see, what we've been talking about tonight is ownership of your dream, betting on yourself, taking ownership, doing something that doesn't require someone else coming alongside and pulling you, pushing you, dragging you into it, something that gets you going just because you own it. And to do that, to move in that direction, you have to believe in your vision for the future, even when others don't understand you. I've had this experience most recently, 3 years ago, when I began to talk through leaving the organization that I had been a part of for more than 20 years. As I began to process through the work that God was doing in my mind and heart, giving me a vision of a new group of people to be able to serve, a group of people to be able to serve in a way that would invite them to see more clearly who Jesus was than maybe they would if I didn't make some changes. And as I began to process through scripture and my values and looking at the strengths that the Lord had given me, the path that he had woven into my life up until that point in time, and asking him to show me the future, as I began to see clearly where he was taking me, not everyone understood. Not only that, not everyone approved. And this is really the litmus test of whether or not you've taken ownership of your dream. When you have people who are a part of your journey, when they see that things are beginning to shift and you're moving in a new direction based on what the Lord is revealing to you, when those people begin to say, you can't do that, that can't possibly be what's for you. When you get the test of others not understanding and you can still stay committed to your dream, that's when you know you've truly taken ownership. If your dream, when confronted with the misunderstanding or confronted with the lack of belief from others, causes you to drop it, you never really had ownership. It was just a daydream. If it can go away that easy, if it can be limited that simply, it really never was something you took ownership of. So tonight, I want to encourage you that there is a dream that the Lord has for you. And today, you may be walking right in the midst of that, walking it out. And this for you has been affirmation that that's the case. For others of you, you've been walking in it, but you've become apathetic. You've gotten comfortable. You've gotten used to it just kind of going along. And this has been convicting for you, to where you see there are components of the dream as it relates to ownership that you are ready now, because of tonight's conversation, step more fully into leading the development of this dream. For others of you, this is a brand new conversation for you. You haven't thought in terms of a dream. You haven't thought of in terms of God has planted within your mind and heart seeds of a dream that he wants to invite you in to helping bring to life in your circle of influence. You haven't thought in those terms because you've limited who those opportunities are for, and you haven't put yourself in that category. And this is very freeing for you because now you know the truth. Everything that the Lord is doing in the world, he's primarily doing through his people. The gospel is in you and it goes everywhere that you go. The Lord has got a dream that he wants to invite you into of how you work in your places to be able to fully display the gospel, giving people repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond because of the unique way that he's working in your life. I hope that this has been helpful for you. As we wrap up, I want to give the people who are on the line the chance to be able to share. Maybe there was something that you learned that you think you need to act on immediately. If so, would you use our chat? On the right-hand side of your screen, you should see some chat options where you can send me a message to let me know what it is that you've learned from this that you want to act on immediately. For others of you, you might have a question. I'd love for you to shoot a question through our chat, and I'll take as many questions as we can here up until the top of the hour. So if you have a question, just go ahead and open up the chat. Take your time. Think about your question. And type it in there, and I'll answer it. I'll give you just a few more seconds here to see if there's anyone who might want to ask a question. If we run out of time here or you don't feel comfortable with it, you can always go to our Ministry Influencers Academy Facebook group. You could post your question there. I'll be glad to interact with you through our Facebook group to make sure that you see how you can apply this teaching to your context and then be able to go and share it with other people who are a part of your team. Well, thanks so much, everyone, for being a part of this teaching tonight. I believe that the Lord is going to do something through this teaching to be able to help you get clarity on where it is he wants you to go next. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of your journey, and I want you to keep being good at what you do, but most importantly, keep being great at who you are, and that comes from your identity in Christ. God bless you guys. I look forward to being back with you next week. Oh, look at there, Steve. Thank you. I'm so glad you were here, Steve. You guys have a great night. I'll see you back here next week, Thursday night, 8:00 p.m., April 18th. Good night, everybody.